One.
Welcome.
All right, here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. Thank you to all the listeners. And we have the phone lines open. I welcome those who call in on the conference call line. And we had two more people just join in. I welcome you. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, is this
Jordan,
Don in Superior, Wisconsin?
I did pick up Don. Hi, Don from Superior. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I heard a lady's voice. Please say your name and location.
Jordan, Westlake Village.
Hello, Jordan. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
Of course.
Barry from Nevada.
Michael in Camino, California.
Hello, Michael from Camino. And then I heard another lady. Who was that lady?
Terry in Nevada.
Hey, is it Terry?
Yes.
Hello, Terry. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Pine?
Doing well. Thank you. Two more people joined in. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Dharmananda.
Hey, Dharmananda. How are you?
How are you doing?
All right. Doing well. Thank you.
Julia from Humboldt County. How are you?
Hello, Julia. How are you?
They are using it to combat global warming. And global warming, I mean, it's not, I'm not referring to global warming in the sense that...
It has a recording going.
Our emissions is causing Europe.
God, in global warming.
I mean, global warming is...
I'm going to keep it warm in my house.
The whole solar system is warming up. It's warming up and cooling down. So
let's see if we can get... All right, we had more people join in over the phone line. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, it's Jim from Sedona.
Good evening, Jim. Welcome to the call. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice, too.
All right. And who else is here? Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Carla in Medicine Hat.
Carla, welcome to the call.
Hi.
I welcome all those people who just joined in. Please say your name and location if you have a chance.
Hi, this is Don in Brexel. Hi, hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Good evening to you.
Thanks. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan here.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. Hi. Hope everybody's doing great tonight.
I believe so.
Well, wound up.
And I want to get back to you, Julia. I couldn't hear what you said. I did ask what you were doing. Can't hear you. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. This is Kim in Florida.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
All right. Doing fine.
You do such an awesome job. You've got dings coming in left and right, people talking here and there and someplace else, and you still keep things going on track.
No, I like it. I like it hot, but I like to stay cool at the same
time. Right.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Suzanne. And I believe there will be more people who joined in and have not announced themselves. Feel free to do so.
Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Hi.
Let me see. I want to get rid of this noisy line over here. We have several noisy lines.
Sounds like coffee percolating.
So if I mute you, it's just because you have some background noise. Don't feel offended. We love you.
I'm so glad I'm feeling loved.
All right. Wayne, how you doing?
Uh-oh, he did it. He asked you, how you doing, worse.
I don't have to ask you if you love. That's good.
Okay.
We are live on BBS Radio, and again, I want to welcome all those who participate with this call through BBS Radio. Thank you so much for being here, and it's awesome to have such a big group of people.
This is not a big group, okay?
depending on what your point of reference is.
You know, I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, it's like, we need to go to the next step.
That's what we're working on, right?
That's right.
Steel Bratzo's audience.
Steel who's?
Bratzo.
No, you don't steal audiences. you know what? People find you by synchronicity, by happenstance, you know? And it's not... If somebody is doing good work and somebody is connecting with their work, you know, they create a... how can I say it? They create a...
A group energy.
Yeah, they create a group energy. Now, I mean, I think that that the people that find us, we offer a lot more support than he does. I mean, he brings in the energy. Now, I haven't looked at him completely. He brings in the energy, but there's not the amount of wisdom and guidance that comes in on his stuff. And it's like people are left just exalting him, kind of. But it's okay. It's good that they're getting the energy. And he doesn't charge a lot.
Well, steal was the wrong word to use, but, you know, if you had the audience that he does worldwide, then there would be a big group.
Well, the way to do that is, you know, for me, I know that every time I'm on a radio show, I know that I think I'll be on George Norrie soon. I'm just trying to get everything in line so that I'm getting close, so that I have the time and can afford to take, you know, I have to do a lot of things that I don't make money on to do it. And when we're tight on money, then I have to prioritize stuff because I know that I can do it. I know that I can get out there in a big way. You know, I happen to know, I don't, you guys know who Jack Canfield is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Chicken soup for the soul.
Chicken soup for the soul. Well, I happen to have known Jack years ago. I don't know him now. I don't think he would talk to me now. But years ago, I took a weekend training from him, and I used to sell massage devices at these festivals, and he would always walk by my booth, and then he bought a massage chair from me, which I delivered to his house for a couple $1,000s. But this was all before Chicken Soup of the Soul. And I know exactly how he got that book to be so successful. You guys know how he did it? I used to think when something got that successful, it was because it was the magic and that everyone was just talking about it, so that everyone would know about it. And they say, you got to get this book. And suddenly, but that's not the way it works. Jack,
you put it on Oprah.
Well, the way he started, he was turned down by 150 publishers. And then when it finally got published, he and his partner, what was his name, Mark Victor Hansen, personally did this campaign to go on radio stations. And they were just booking every station, every little station, everywhere, for like 6 months to a year, maybe a year. And it created a grounded energy that caused it to explode. That's how it worked. And of course, probably it's a good book, and it was inspiring, but that was not enough. They had to do that to make it work. And they had enough money to survive. Maybe their wives were working or something. They had enough money to survive so they could do that. You know, one of the reasons the negative is so successful is because they have so much money that they can spend their days being creative about how to be successful. So money is a big issue on everything in this realm. As you all well know, some of you are going through your own struggling. And when your survival gets in jeopardy, everything else takes a lower priority. It has to, because you have to survive. So that's a challenge everybody has to meet. And the negative knows that. So that's why they have no problem creating situations that create economic disasters or whatever, because they'll have an easier time controlling people if they do that. If there's no food and you have to get into a line to get food, man, they've got you. I mean, they don't have to have you. You can get into line and get food and go home and go back to your spirit, okay? But you have to have enough fortitude to be able to do that. If it ever came to that, you have to be anchored so strongly. And you know what? I should start the recorder. Is Teddy there?
I'm here.
What are you doing here early?
Well, this isn't early.
Well,
I'm so glad you're here, Terry. How are you?
Well, I'm good, thank you.
All right, thank you so much for being here.
Love you,
now.
Terry. Thank you, love you too.
Lucy doesn't love me, she just loves you, Terry. Please, no comment.
I love your song, Wynn. I love your song. I adore your song, and I love you too. I just mute myself.
Oh, you did? Is that what it was? Okay. Oh, what a good excuse. All right. Well, you know what? Somebody's got to be tough so that Terry can be loving. I mean, it's like to protect the space so that we can do this. So that's why sometimes I seem a little, what's the word?
Grouchy.
Grouchy. Grouchy. Or where I have to suddenly... I'm going to start the recorder. I'll tell you a story.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is October 9th, 2013. And we are doing our question and answer call. And you know what's great is people don't care about the answers anymore. We're still getting questions. But the questions are lessening. But some of you out there, the best question, if you really want to take advantage of this, the best question you can come up with is the question where you're stuck in yourself and how can you get unstuck? You know, this is a rare opportunity to be able to get this kind of wisdom on a phone call without paying any money. And all of us are stuck, everyone, including me. We all have our areas of, like, moving into our next expansion. It's different for everybody. And it's really good to ask those kinds of questions. Sometimes it's good to ask, we have questions about, what would we say? Oh, you know, esoteric things, how the universe works. And those are good questions because it's like the way they answer them, at least for me, gives me a lot of continuing confirmation that they are who they say they are, which is, I always say,
you need to constantly test things. And, you know, I was going to share something that happened a couple of days ago. And I went into a session with Terry, and I had some questions I was going to ask that went into a little bit of, shall we say, a gray, dark area. And, you know, a voice came through and was answering the questions, but it seemed kind of weird. And afterwards, Terry was out of it. She said, I'm still stuck in that space. And I had to, like, work with her for about 3 hours, 2 hours, I don't know, for a long time, till she started coming out of it. It's one of the reasons that when people ask those kinds of questions, I might make a comment on it, but I don't want to ask it in public, online, because, you know, this is something Carla said, that you just have to be careful what you ask. And, I mean, it's good to know that we don't get stuck there and we can move out of it. But we hadn't had an experience like that for a very long time. Terry, you want to share anything about it? I don't want to go into saying what I was asking about, but just the experience of it.
Yeah, well, when you ask about like something with a negative aspect to it, and then we go right into the middle of it, and they're looking at it and relaying the answers and everything, it's like then sometimes the negativity can grab me, grab my matrix, and it takes a little while to shake myself loose from it.
Now, you know, those of you who have not developed an extreme amount of strength inside of yourself, of staying centered, when you go on the internet, going on YouTube, and looking at all the things out there, you have to be careful, because in a certain way, by doing all of that, you're moving into the same matrix of all the stuff that's negative. And there's a certain amount that is important to do, because it's important to know what's going on our planet. It's important to know the agendas of what's going on for your discernment, because otherwise, you'll take a rigid point of view that's based on some kind of belief pattern that's not based on reality. And that rigid point of view is going to keep you in a contracted space. So there's a fine balance about learning about things. Learning about things that, and not being afraid, not letting it put you into fear, because they can put you into fear. And the bottom line is that we are eternal beings. And this is one lifetime over many. And we're going to go on and on and on. And we have a question about that today, too. And we've died many times. We've probably been on planets, some of us, that have exploded. We've had terrible deaths. We've had glorious lives. We've had lives of great contribution. I mean, you know, there's a lot of indications that Terry had been a saint in another lifetime. But you know what? After that lifetime, she ended up in lifetimes that were screwy, okay? We've talked about it. She remembers them. And bad marriage and husband.
Totally normal.
Or just there totally normal.
There were totally normal.
Yeah. Yeah. So because you go and do something that's exalted, it's like, doesn't mean you're clear for future stuff. And, you know, one answer that I asked a long time ago which I think is very relevant. I don't think I've ever shared this. Something you all can think about. We're talking about where, you know, obviously there's this theme that goes through our work of this idea of graduation, graduating from this realm, or graduating from this density. And apparently, that is, you know, not a simple process, a complicated process, because everyone goes somewhere else. Now, a great majority of people are going to go into the next higher density, but many people are going to go higher than that. Now, you can't be ambitious to want to go higher than you can go, because you can only go there when you're ready to give up where you are. And if you're still learning lessons in that area, you're going to come back to that area where you're learning lessons. It's like if you're going to college and you want to get a PhD, you can't go to the semester just before you graduate without going through all the other semesters, or else you won't understand anything there. So it's a process, and we're all on a process, and we have to accept it. That one of the interesting things that came up on a question that I asked, and it was that when we create group affiliations, when we have our energies connected to other people, that starts to create a platform of your graduation. You're not alone in this. It's a group energy. This doesn't mean we're all going to go to the same place, but that is one of the great importances of this call, that we do have this wonderful, loving energy, and that we're not judging anybody. So you can come as you are, and you can participate and feel the connection on the call. And that, it in itself, is a great platform to hold things together no matter what else happens. And it would be great to have that energy with people in your location. And at some point, we're going to have loads and loads of people on this call, so we'll... The people that want to get together with people in their location, we'll put them together and at least give them the option to meet each other, to do a team shift call. It's one of the reasons team shift is important. And I don't talk about it that much, but the reason it is because it puts you in connection with a group of people. And, of course, the goal is to have a loving connection, where you tune into these frequencies every day, and you do it yourself. You don't need me, you don't need Terry, you don't need channeling, but a group of people coming together. And it doesn't always work for every group, because it's tricky. One person can screw it up, and then nobody wants to be in the group. You know, I've watched how someone who thinks they have all this stuff to share, and that they try to take a leadership position, and they usually screw it up, because it's not in the information, usually. It's not in what we say, usually. Although within the context of what we say, there's a lot of triggers. I think that between Terry, Carla, myself, and Highs, who have the main public presence on these calls, you can feel the affinity that we all have, and that there's no ego trips, and there's no competition. And there's a surrender to the moment, and that when people do that, it spreads out, and you guys feel it, and that you're learning how it feels to be in the receiving of that. And sooner or later, you're going to learn to be in the transmission of that. And it wasn't easy to get this far, because I didn't know where it was going. This is not like we're following rules. We're not following higher sources. We're connecting with them. We're co-creating with them. But there's nothing to follow. There's nothing, there's no rituals. There's no doing anything. And yet, it's working. And so many of you have sent me so many beautiful emails that it can bring tears to my eyes that we're actually making that kind of contribution to you. And, you know, simultaneously, you're making a contribution to us because you're giving us a purpose, a reason to be alive. You know, that in this realm, some of you may have come to that place where, why am I alive? Why am I here? And your life has gotten into a certain routine. You become a good provider for your family. Now, maybe your children need you and love you. That's a reason to be here. But we need a reason to be here. We need a reason to breathe, to be alive. And we have the best reason is one that we create, that we can see where we can fulfill a purpose. And in the fulfillment of that, you create a reason to be alive. And that way, you're creating it. No one controls it. If someone else is creating it, they control it, and it can be taken away from you. What do I mean by someone else creating it? Well, you can look at the example of someone who falls in love and is totally dedicated to this person they love. And that can be very fulfilling. It can be, because you can have very balanced energy when you're in a good emotional, loving connection. But can you do that without that person? Will that person leave you one day? And suddenly you're going to be devastated. Some of you, I've had that experience, and I'm sure some of you have had that experience. But you know what? That was all part of your growth. And then you aim for all these things. Now, I'll give you another caution. You aim for things. You aim for spirit. You aim for synchronicities. And usually, the first time things start coming in that you aimed for, you get all excited and go on an ego trip about it. Oh, my God, the Elohim, I felt them. Or any number of things. It could be having a relationship. It could be getting a job. You know, people, if you ever read the stories of people that win the lottery, they usually end up unhappy. And there's a whole, I don't know where it is. It's probably, I think I read it on the internet about how all that money did not make them happy. You know, suddenly, when you have a lot of money, there's a big downside to it. Because prior to that, when you hardly had any money, nobody paid any attention to you. And suddenly, everyone's paying attention to you. But they're not paying attention to you because of you. They're not paying attention to you because they love you. They're paying attention to you because you have a lot of money. And they hope you'll be their friend and give them some money. And that's just the way it works down here. So, you know, be aware and be observant and observe your patterns. So there was a thing that said, you know, when things are good, be neutral. When things are bad, be neutral. And if you're going into woe is me, that's not neutral. If you're going into, wow, I'm on top of the world, that's not neutral. Well, you know, you can't, if you do it, you do it. But just observe where it gets you, because you usually don't stay on top of the world. You crash again. So in any case, let me see what our questions are for tonight. We'll see if any of we got any last-minute questions. Terry, you have anything you want to say before we go into it?
No, I'm just half in trance here.
Half in trance. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, Heis, everyone on this phone line, everyone listening on the internet, and everyone who's listening to our replays, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realm of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And I think what we'll do is we'll have our sources introduce themselves, and then we'll just do a mini planetary meditation really fast so we get to our questions, but take this opportunity of our energies being together to do that, because it's important now. And our source is there.
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We do not come over the telephone lines, and we do not come over the radio. We come directly to you. We do not need space to travel through. We sense you. We see your vibrations. We see your questions. We see your light. And we move to the vicinity of those who wish to connect. And we are a free will group so that we only connect where it is desired for connection. And we can see your light burning brightly. We are looking at certain members that are listening, and it's also listening to the replays or listening to the, going to the website and listening to the downloads, reading the transcript. And we thank each and every person who is helping with the transcription. Do you have questions?
Thank you. I just want to take a moment and have you join us and just bring your group energy and surround our planet with the most positive, loving light that we can manifest, and touch all those people and all those groups that are reaching upwards. Maybe they don't know anyone is hearing, and that we can reach back and touch them, and that we have all earthquakes being limited in such a way that they're away from land masses, and that they're small enough not to create holocausts. We ask that all of those energies of what we call the negative, that are meant to make us sick, make us change weather, create things, hurt us, that however they can be limited for the highest good of all concerned, honoring the free will of those who would be impacted, that it be limited. We ask for the work we're doing being blessed and reach as many people who are sleeping who might wake up. And even those who are woken up, that I wake them up more. Or maybe they'll wake us up more. It's okay. Just take a moment of silence and hold that. And that each of us on this line can have protection around us, them, can have guidance and synchronicities, healings, whatever is appropriate for their next step. Okay, first question for tonight. This is from Rick Vornbrook in Iowa City. I am certain that when we pray for our loved ones who have just passed away, that they can benefit from our prayers in the spiritual world. When we pray for someone who has passed away perhaps two decades ago, and if they have possibly reincarnated again somewhere on earth today, are they still affected by our prayers? Can they feel our energy or even hear us? Is that possible? Thank you, Rick.
Yes, that is possible, and it depends entirely upon the individual. And the individual is born into another life and gets older, and the vibrations and the incidents and the connections get stronger within the new life than the impetus of the old life can recede. A strong connection between one and this life can follow one into the next life, so that when one connects with them and feels their energy, they may bring that person for an instant into their sphere, and the other person may have a memory of this and a connection that they feel. They may feel centered, and they may feel warm, and they may feel cared for. And this is in the moment, in the new life. The connection still remains between the person from this life that they have left behind and them in the new life.
Thank you. Well, I'll add another question to that. How about for someone who we didn't know personally, but we felt a connection with, somebody that died, somebody 100 years ago, or even 1,000 years ago, and we read about that person, and we feel a loving connection. Is that a real connection?
It may be real, or perhaps it is within the framework of this life sphere of influence of the person, and it mainly resonates within that person who's feeling it, matrix. And the person from before, there are enough people that are remembering them with caring and love, they can feel that in their current life.
Thank you. Next question is from Rosalie. And she asks, her question is, will we keep our lower minds with us in 5D? And I think the question needs to be revised, because it assumes that everyone's going to 5D, or maybe just the people that are going to 5D. So I'm going to, like, you can address that question if you have an answer for it. But I think the more general question is, what are the circumstances when we leave this realm that we can keep the memory of this lifetime?
Thank you. We see that there is a difference between the mind and the memory. The individual themselves has a memory, and they take that memory with them. It may recede, and it may take triggering to bring it forth vividly. But it is there, ready and waiting, if the trigger would come. But the other individual case of the mind is made of more components, more building blocks. And so to take the mind with one, it is possible to take it with one. However, the mind is not as helpful as the person's own heartfelt energy. And the mind and its components may slow one down and hold one back. We realize that this may not make sense. However, in cases, some cases, the mind is very strong, and it leads the person rather than the person leading the mind.
Thank you. And a question I'd like to add to that is, you know, in the raw material, it talks about a graduation into 4D, and to have your hearts open, of service to others, 51% qualifies you for that. And in 4D, there supposedly is also the negative. It's not just, even though it's a heart-centered place, and when I asked Carla about this, she said, well, you can have an open heart by loving yourself as well. And of course, according to the raw material, it's 95% loving yourself, which means you've got to enslave everyone around you to love you. Well, when the negative graduates, do they take those people that they've had as their subjects with them? And could you give us some insight how this graduation works for the negative and the positive, in particular to 4D? And I have another question after that, but let me just stop there.
Thank you. The individual who is 4D negative has the power and the ability to, because of the negativity, bypass all the common hindrances or the common civilities or the common moralities and that can hold a non-negative person back, and the non-negative person may wish to open his heart farther. There is some morality there, and they wish to move into the fourth density with their full morality and realize the negativity that is closing their heart is holding them back. A 4D negative person, he is oftentimes not the morality to hold them, their own self back in an ethical manner. but they can cut right through circumstances and barriers and can move into the 4D. Often they are quite charming, so they can get the other individual around them to be kind and to move with them. But the question is, do they take those people with them into 4D? And the answer is not very often. And the 4D person without morality and ethics, but is working for their own enlightenment and fulfillment and to the detriment of others, will not be able to progress much farther beyond the 4D, because other beings at the higher densities will become aware of their self-centeredness. And themselves, they are not able to receive in an ordinary way. They are able to take. And people do not wish to give to them who are simply takers. So there is not the back and forth exchange that will fulfill the 4D negative person. And they will eventually, sometimes after a long time, they will eventually falter and eventually realize that there is something missing. And of their own accord and of nature's stopping them, of the nature of how they are, will not bring them joy and love and fulfillment, as they are taking it, but they are not given it. And so it falls flat eventually. Continue.
When an individual ends up in 4D, they graduate from this realm, are they going to be in a higher aspect of Earth? And are the negative beings that graduated going to be there also doing their same kind of manipulations?
It will be as similar to the third density. And there will be a higher realm with water and brooks and trees and life and earth. And they will be within that density. And they will be within their own life, much as they are in the life on Earth. So the negative person will have his own sphere that he is working with. And the positive person will attract, because of his or her positivity, will attract their own life partners and companions. And due to the difference in vibration, the negative person may not interface so much with the positive person. A person in the 4D, we look at a landscape similar to Earth, but much lighter, containing much more light, glowing like jewels. And the person will be able to see the motivations more clearly of the people around them and be able to set up their own life circumstance within the higher dimension. And have similar beings of light attracted to them. The negative being may begin to feel isolated and not be able to con so many people.
Thank you. Now, if one was advanced enough to bypass 4D and ended up in 5D, this is my last question here, because the next question from Matt Savino kind of goes to the next place. But if someone would be advanced enough to locate themselves in 5D, what would that world experience be like?
That world would be more of an energetic world with models. There would be even more light in the fifth density and even more fulfillment available. And people would be able to put their matrix, repair their matrix, put it together in a better way and receive help in repair of their matrix and work with models of matrixes and how to repair the actual geometries of matrixes that have gotten out of kilter would be available to them in the system.
Thank you. Now, if somebody is in 5D in this realm, could they be actually doing that even though they're in a 3D earthquake?
This would be in conjunction. Both would be available. Both worlds would be available to them. And they, if they were focused enough, would be able to repair to some degree their own and other people's matrix systems based upon what was coming through from the fifth density. And as these individuals sleep, they would be able to go back to the fifth density and to refresh themselves.
Thank you. Next question is from Matt Savino. And now, Matt's question is just the next one of mine here, because he's asking about the sixth density. And the Ra group, we know, is in the sixth density. The Ra group supposedly fans out. So they go into the fifth density, the fourth density, and the third density. And some of you might be Ra in the third density. I believe Carla and I are probably extensions of the Ra group in the third density. But they start at the sixth density, I believe. They might go higher, but Matt's question is, existing within the sixth density, sharing a common density with humanity's higher selves, and Matt is saying that some of our higher selves are in the sixth density, how or does the Ra group ever collaborate or work with those higher or future selves of us? Are many of people's higher selves actually a part of group souls such as Ra?
Yes. There are individuals whose higher self, many individuals whose higher self is contained, focused, is a better word, within the sixth density. And from that density, they can work with the lower levels of the individual, such as the body matrix, the cell, the glandular system. The individual, him or herself, can, in this connection, obtain guidance and a model to emulate and to give peace to them and guidance and direction. It is, in a way, remembering and tapping in to their sixth entity self.
Thank you. Okay, last question. This is from Melinda, and I don't know if she gave her city here. Let me just see here. Don't see it. But it's a general type question, although it probably connects to her personally. What's the best way to find a stable home environment when roommates seem so disruptive emotionally? I always help them and love to be of service, but am I done with that kind of service in my home environment? Thank you, Marina.
Marina, you, as you complete your service to these individuals or service to your own self, your own growth, need other experiences, and you then, to achieve the circumstances, the fulfillment, the growth that you need, can move out of that environment, and you can connect with groups that, as you experience time with them, you feel is more fulfilling to you, and can then move from the group you are in to another group that can give you the experiences you need to progress forward. You have a sense already of what you need and what you would like in your companions, in their interactions with you, to fulfill your experience on Earth. And look to that and trust that and emphasize that. And as you do, opportunities will present themselves for you to move into other circumstances where you are fulfilled.
Thank you. Well, thank you for being with us tonight and answering our questions. And thank all of you for asking questions, and thank all of you for listening and holding the space. And we're going to bring this session to a close. And this is Lynn and Terry in Sedona, and Hayes and Magalia. And all of you, I'm going to unmute you all and bless you all for a great rest of the week. And we'll see some of you on Sunday.
Thanks, Wynn.
Bye. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn, Terry. Thank you. Good night.